that for sure. This individual also included one of the tracts that we distributed. Where would Jesus worship? The sender had made some notations in the tracts, one of which was by the name of Peter. That name was underlined, and he was labeled number one. Now, I'm not really troubled by the letter that was just read. In fact, I'm grateful for it because it helps introduce the topic for tonight's lesson, and that is persecution. When you look at the Bible, both Testaments, but for our purposes tonight, the New Testament, you find that it has a lot to say about persecution. This topic is probably one that we should pay more attention than we do because it's not something that we normally think about or talk about. It seems to me that there are some folks who, when they think about persecution, what comes to mind in their heads is bodily harm. A person who is persecuted is beaten, he is harassed, he's threatened, chased out of town, or perhaps even killed. Well, each of these acts, of course, is persecution, but persecution goes beyond physical abuse and death. We heard just a few moments ago a reading from Matthew 5, specifically Matthew 5, verse 11. Jesus, in talking about persecution, associated at least some forms of it with sin ariseth because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. The seed sown in the ground represents how people respond to God's word. And Jesus said there are some people in life, there are some folks who become Christians, and they spring up. They are a child of God, but they do not endure. They do not last for very long. And then he identified the reason. There are people who, because of persecution, because of harassment, because their religious faith is ridiculed or put to the test, they wilt. If we're a Christian, there needs to come a time in our Christian life when we make a decision about persecution. We, at some point after we become a Christian, need to sit down and decide that we, as a child of God, will not abandon Christ because of harassment. We in our minds need to have the understanding that if we lose friends, a job, a house, contact with family members, or something else, we as the people of God are going to stand fast. If we become an object of ridicule, we will not relent. If that persecution comes in the form of a lawsuit, we will cling, we will still cling to what we know to be true. We need advanced preparation. Because persecution can be intense. Bible teaches that in Acts 8, verse 1. In Acts 8, 1, Luke says there was not only persecution, but there was great persecution that came upon the people of God. The opposition was so severe that as you continue to read through that account in the book of Acts, the Bible says there were people who had to leave, perhaps flee their homes and move elsewhere because of the opposition. What Luke described is really an example for us. Whether persecution is mild or not, the example in Acts 8 says to us that we need to cling to God and to his word. Now, there are Christians who think that that's too hard, perhaps impossible. But Acts 8 shows that it is possible. Not always convenient. It's not always perhaps the first choice that we might like to make, but it is possible. Furthermore, as we look at the Bible, we find that people before us have had to deal with the problem of persecution. Matthew 5:12, the final verse that was read for the scripture reading, says the prophets who lived during the Old Testament times, they suffered persecution. Jesus was thinking back as he was presenting the sermon about those people who had been ill-treated. 2 Timothy 3:12 says this, yea, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Paul says, are you a Christian? Do you want to have a godly life in Christ? Do you want to try to live pleasing to God? He said, then there's going to be a consequence. In one form or another, you as a Christian are going to suffer persecution. People in the past have faced persecution and remain faithful to God, and that same standard is required of us. If you wanted to outline tonight's lesson, I think you could use a series of P's. P number one would be the promise of persecution and our need to be prepared for it. And we've seen that from the passages that have been given. Keywords there would be the promise of persecution. Jesus promised that in Matthew 5, verses 10 through 12. Paul promised it in places like 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And again, the idea of preparation. We need to be ready for that because Jesus promised in Matthew 13 it will come. Those points have already been given, so P number two would be our plan for persecution. If it's going to come, if this is going to be a difficulty or a hardship in our life, then we should take some advance actions so we can be planning and prepared for it, ready to face it. The final P would be promises for enduring persecution. Since the first couple P's have been covered, what about the next? What about a plan for times of persecution? If we know it's going to come, what can we do to help fortify our minds and our lives so that we can face these times? Well, I think the first part of our plan is perhaps the most obvious. Try to avoid it. Anyone with any sense is going to do their best to avoid persecution. And the Bible approves of this approach. In Hebrews 12, verse 14, the Bible tells us to follow after peace with all people. We want to have the best working relationship with people that we can possibly have. And that's what the first several of the difficulties that Paul had in his life. There were a lot of problems that he had to face. And, excuse me, one of these difficulties was persecution. Now, the word persecution is not used in the ESV that I have. It is, however, used in the King James as well as the original text. The ESV says pursued instead of persecuted. And again, even though it's a different word, I think you can see the connection. 2 Corinthians 4:9. Paul said we're pursued or we're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're smitten down, but he said we are not destroyed. When Paul was persecuted, part of his plan was to keep before him the fact that God had not forsaken him. And that point can be related to the parable of the sower. Jesus spoke about people being persecuted and leaving the faith. Well, why would people who are persecuted depart from the Lord and his body? Some do that because they feel abandoned by God. Some, as they are persecuted, they cry out to God for help. They are looking for spiritual relief, and it doesn't seem to come. So in the minds of the persecuted, thoughts like these can exist. God no longer cares about me. If he cared about me, the persecution would go away. He no longer hears my prayers, because if he did hear my prayers, then the persecution would stop. The harassment, in some cases, only seems to worsen. And, if God were listening to me, the harassment would not continue to rise worse than it is. The pressure is too much to handle. The opposition seems to be too great. God's help is very little, and therefore Christianity is not worth it. Paul didn't think in those terms. We sometimes find today people using that reasoning process. But when Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, persecution, pursued, oh yes. I've been there. I've done that. But then he goes on to say, forsaken by God, absolutely not. What a wonderful truth to know and to apply in our lives. We may be persecuted by people, but the God of heaven has not forsaken us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. So if we want to plan to deal with persecution in our life, whatever form that comes in, and whenever that comes, 2 Corinthians 4, 9 is an important verse. Well, in conjunction with 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we want to go back to the first letter and also draw from the fourth chapter, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 12. This passage contains two additional points that can help those who are persecuted. When persecution arises, Christians need to respond to it in some way. We might respond to it with silence. We may not say anything. Another choice is defending our actions and beliefs. We may react by asking someone if they would like to see what the Bible says about that matter. If you want to know why we're acting in this way, if you want to know why we're thinking in these terms, let's sit down and study the Bible together. Well, Paul knew a little something about responding to persecution, and here was part of the way that he dealt with it. Again, 1 Corinthians 4:12. 2 Corinthians 4:17 puts the matter a little differently. Paul there said to the Corinthians, there is an eternal weight of glory that comes to those who endure persecution. Philippians 1:28 associates enduring persecution as an indicator of salvation. That's not the only indicator or proof of salvation, but Paul does say it is part of the package. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 presents it from a slightly different angle. It says, we will reign with Christ. Heirs, join heirs with him if we endure persecution. And then who can forget when we think about persecution, Revelation 2, verse 10. That verse has been quoted, I don't know how many times since it was written, but a whole bunch. John there said, be faithful unto death. And we know the promise, and I will give thee the crown of life. Those who received the letter that we know as Revelation were enduring severe persecution. And the thought is not so much in Revelation 2:10, be faithful to your dying day. But the thought is you be faithful even if it requires you to die. Be faithful even to the point of death as the persecution continues. And if you do that, John promised Christian, they stay faithful for a little while. But then he said, because of the word, the persecution that results from that, they leave the faith. Staying the course is the only way to receive the crown of life. It pays big dividends. I want to close with reading a single chapter from the Thessalonian letter. This is found in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. It's an important section of the Thessalonian letter because these people, and we're not sure exactly what all was involved, but these people were facing some difficult times as far as persecution. And here's what an inspired man wrote to people who were enduring great affliction for the cause of Christ. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. We are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, even as it is meet or proper, for that your faith groweth exceedingly in the love of each other, one of you all toward one another abundantly, or abounded, so that we ourselves glory in you, in the churches our inflaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall suffer punishment even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. Verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be marveled at all them that believe, because of our testimony unto you was believed in that day. To which end we also pray always for you, that God may count you worthy of your calling, and fulfill every desire of goodness and every work of faith with power. Or outside of him. The Bible presents it in a lot of ways. But it always comes back to the same point, saved or lost. Tonight we hope that you're on the side of the saved. We hope that you are one of the Lord's friends, that he would keep from Satan's clutches and eternity without God. We've given the plan so many times before. If you believe in Christ and you want to live the right way, you're on the right road. But there's the need to confess Christ as Lord, as was done in Acts 8. And the need to also do, as we find in Acts 8, to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, just as the people were in the day of Pentecost, Acts 2, verses 36 or 38. And then to make that commitment to be faithful to God, no matter how difficult the persecution is. Tonight, if you've been persecuted and that has been discouraging to you, and we can help you as far as encouraging you as a body of people, we'd like to do that. If you've not yet become a Christian, tonight we want you to know that, yes, there's persecution. But then Jesus also pronounced a blessing upon those who endure it. Can we help you? Can we help you become a Christian? Can we help encourage you as a child of God so that you can be part of the kingdom that he described? If the answer is yes, and you're willing to make that known to the people who are here, will you not come as we stand and sing the selected song?